Lord, this morning we come together. Lord, we ask you, as we read your words, Lord, we pray that you speak to us. You surpass all our limitations, so that what you want us to know and see, Lord, we pray that you help us, so that we can be faithful and can stand for you. Lord, we commit our time and our hearts into your. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been reading the book of Ephesians for a while. Now we come to the third and final session of the whole book, which is chapter 6, verse 10 to 24. The main focus of this last session is on the whole armor of God. Today we are going to look at the first part of that session, which is chapter 6, verse 10 to 17. God willing, we will look at the remaining part of that last session next time. Let us read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Today I would like to look at the first part of the whole armor of God from this passage. I'm going to look at in three main points. The first one, be strong in the Lord. The second one, stand against the enemy. The third point, put on the whole armor of God. Let's look at the first point, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The first word of this whole session is finally. Paul has written the previous two sessions of the book. Now we come to the final session. As previously mentioned, the first session is from chapter 1 to 3. It talks about the spiritual blessings Christians have received in Christ. The second session is the one we just finished, from chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 6, verse 9. It talks about how should we walk worthy of the gracious calling have been called by God. The first session talks about by grace we have been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. The second session talks about we should walk our Christian life on earth. The more as Christians know how to sit with Christ, resting in the heavenly place, knowing our position in Christ and what Christ has accomplished for us, then the more we are able to walk on earth worthy of his calling. In verse 10, Paul exhorted us to be strong. How to be strong? Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The way is to be strong in the Lord. Not to be strong in yourself, but in the Lord. If we rely our own strength and confidence in ourselves, we always fail and fall. Because while we are relying on ourselves, we won't see the need to rely on God and His strength. Without His strength, we can't accomplish God's will. Without His strength, we can't resist Satan. In the strength of His might, the phrase, the strength of His might here, in original Greek, appeared previously in chapter 1, where it refers to the great power God used to raise Christ from the dead and to seat Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That is the tremendous power of God. It is that strength of His might, Paul asked Ephesians Christian to be strengthened in. That great power of strength of His might is for every Christian to assess and experience. How do we assess the strength of His might? Be strong in the Lord. What is meant by in the Lord? It means remain in the Lord or abiding in the Lord. As Jesus said to His disciples a night before His betrayal in John 15, verse 4 to 5, He said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The branches abide in the vine, and the vine abide in the branches. That means both the branch and the vine connect with one another. When we, the branches, are connect with the vine, the Lord, we can bear fruit and bear much fruit. If the branches is disconnected with the vine, or there's anything hindering the connection, the branch cannot bear fruit because there's no life supply. That's why Jesus said to His disciple, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from the Lord, actually we can do a lot of things. We can do our study, do our work, do our housework, or other activities. But we cannot bear spiritual fruit for God through our study, our working. We can do nothing that pleasing God and of spiritual value. Apart from the Lord, we can't resist Satan. Be strong in the Lord. In the original Greek, it is be empowered in the Lord. The verb is in passive voice. We are not to ask to empower ourselves. We cannot make ourselves strong. We are asked to be empowered. Empowered by what? By the strength of His might in the Lord. How? By allowing the Lord to empower us in the Lord. That is through our abiding or connecting with the Lord. When we are in the Lord, the consequence is that His strength can empower us. The key is that we have to abide in the Lord, remain in fellowship with the Lord. Each day, when you get up from the bed to start your day, do you allow the Lord to have fellowship with you, to connect with you through prayer, meditating scripture or singing hymns? During the day or in the morning, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, do we confess our sin and repent so that we receive the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus to remove sin as barrier between we and the Lord? We need to remain in fellowship with the Lord and remove any hindrances when they appear and not tarry. Now let us look at the second main point. Stand against the enemy. In verse 11 and 12, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. These two verses tell us that we have an enemy, the devil, Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. He was originally an angel beautifully and perfectly created by God. God gave him power and glory. However, later he became proud and wanted to be equal with God. He rebelled against God and became enemy of God. The rulers and authorities are the fallen angels rebel with their leader, Satan, together against God. They became evil spirits. The kingdom of Satan war against the kingdom of God. If God wanted, he could easily destroy Satan by just a breath when he first rebelled. But God has his own timing and plan in dealing with Satan. One day, Satan will be eventually thrown to the lake of fire, the hell, to be tormented forever and ever. Now, he is the prince of the power of the air. Paul told us that previously in chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 2 to 3, before we became Christians, he said, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Before we became a Christian, Satan was working in all of us, affecting our thoughts and lives. We were belong to the kingdom of Satan without our knowing. When we became Christians, Paul said to Colossian Christian in Colossians that in chapter 1, verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So when we become Christian, we belong to the kingdom of God, and consequently, we became Satan's enemy. Satan wants to use his schemes to take us away from the Lord and to destroy us. In other words, we are in a spiritual warfare or Christian warfare, with or without our knowing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Therefore, we need to be watchful, not to live our Christian life wandering carelessly. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood in the physical, but the evil spirit in the spiritual realm. In our everyday life, on one hand, we are interacting with people and coping with physical things. But on the other hand, We are wrestling against the evil spirits and their power behind the physical. Therefore, when we have conflict with other people, we know that they are not our enemies. The real enemies are the evil spirits behind them, affecting them. How can we be able to fight against Satan and his followers in the spiritual realm, which we can't see? This brings us to the third point. Take up the whole armor of God. Paul continues in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Here Paul told us that to take up the whole armor of God in order to withstand in the evil days. We know that today we are in evil days. Also, the severity and extent of the evil worsens very rapidly. Being a Christian is becoming increasingly difficult. Not to say in a country with persecution like North Korea or China. Even in Australia, the world is more openly hostile to Christians and Christian values. A recent example is the forced acquisition by the ACT government imposed on Catholic Calvary Hospital in Canberra. This forced acquisition happened shortly after the final report of the government's inquiry into abortion assessed in the ACT, saying that the hospital's position against abortion is problematic. The government has forced acquisition on the hospital. We are living in evil days. How to withstand in the evil days? Paul said, take up the whole armor of God. In verse 14 to 17, Paul talks about the whole armor of God. There are six pieces of armor. During battle, if your heart is in danger or being attacked, we have the breastplate. If our head is exposed, we have the helmet. Since our feet easily get hurt while running or standing, we have the sandals. If fiery arrows are coming to us, we have the shield. If our armor are loosened, we have the belt to fasten them. All the above five pieces of armor are for defensive. If we need to defend or offend, we have the sword. We are going to look at the first five and leave the last one, which is the sword of the Spirit, to next time. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The first piece of armor to fasten on is the belt of truth. Today, majority people, they don't want to talk about truth. They think that absolute truth doesn't exist. They think all truths are relatives. They dislike absolute truth. If anyone holds an absolute truth, the person may be regarded as intolerant to other saying, other ideas. On the other hand, intolerance is regarded as unacceptable. Therefore, holding moral truth should be avoided because it implies intolerance, which is unacceptable. And there is no absolute moral standard, they think. All moral standards are relative. And tolerance is regarded as virtue and priority. Tolerance of sins are the way the society is choosing to go. However, Paul here told us that the belt of truth is the first piece of armor to fight against, to stand against the devil. Truth refers to the truth revealed from the whole Bible. Devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He uses lies to kill and destroy people. For example, Satan likes to use lies to tempt us to sin. He talks down the severity of sin. He promises sinful enjoyment and satisfaction come from sin. He convinces us to blame others for our sins, saying, "I am excused to sin because others caused me to sin, caused me to do so." But once Satan successfully to tempt us to sin, he will then accuse us of our sin and continues to lie to us, saying that God won't forgive your sin. God is disappointed with you. God will no longer love you as before. He wants to make you not dare to go to God. Accepting these lies, the more we dare not to go back to God, the less we have strength to overcome sin. Then we are falling in a vicious cycle of sinning. Facing Satan's lies, we need to fasten ourselves with a belt of truth and stand firm. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. He said, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Propitiation has the meaning of appeasement. Jesus Christ appeased the wrath of God towards us due to our sins by dying for us on the cross. When we sin, He is the righteous one who advocates with the Father for us by His blood. Also in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, God promised that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we shouldn't sin. But if in any case we sin, we need to turn back to God for forgiveness and strength to repent. Another way Satan used to attack God's children is to doubt God's love. There's a Christian sister who decides to follow the Lord. Recently, she came across very difficult circumstances in her life and family. A thought comes to her: God doesn't love you. You are cursed. If God loves you, how come you have so much difficulties? Obviously, this thought is from Satan. She needs to gird herself with a belt of truth. As Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, he said, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So when Satan casts up to us on God's love, we need to fasten on the belt of truth. We need to stand on what the Bible told us, what God told us in His words. Belt, fastening on the waist, refers to strength. It is the truth strengthens us to resist Satan. How do we fasten our belt of truth? By equipping ourselves with understanding God's truth in the Bible. That's why Christians need to read and know the Bible. Jesus is the full embodiment of truth. He is the truth. As we put on the belt of truth, we are putting on Christ. Second one, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate, as part of armor of a Roman soldier, cover from the neck to the waist, front and back. It protects the heart of a person. The heart is the important part of a person. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So the heart is very important. The breastplate of righteousness can protect us. The righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. This righteousness is given by grace through faith to us. As Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. It said, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." Christ is the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ for all who believe. This righteousness is the perfect righteousness of Christ. This is the answer to Satan's accusation to God's children. God granted us righteousness through our faith in Jesus, not because we are good, but because Christ is perfect and good. His good, perfect sacrifice before God, dying on the cross for our sin. Satan can't attack us and accuse us because we have Christ as our righteousness. Our heart is protected. So every time Satan accuses us, we have Christ before us to cover us. So in order to stand against the devil, we are not relying on our own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. But on the other hand, we need to be willing to walk in righteousness, to keep our conscience clean. If the Holy Spirit shows us of any undwelt guilt or sin, we need to deal with that. Otherwise, without a clean conscience, our faith to resist Satan's schemes is undermined. Christ is our righteousness. As we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we put on Christ. Verse 15. "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." The third one is the shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. A soldier needs to walk, run, stand, and fight. It is important to have shoes to protect them from wounds and hurts. the readiness given by the gospel of peace can be translated as the foundation or firm footing of the gospel of peace. This refers to the basic doctrine of the gospel. One of Satan's schemes is to confuse people with heresies and false gospels so that people are misled to believe in a distorted gospel. Therefore, Christians need to stand against or fight against Satan with the sound doctrine of gospel to guard against heresies and false gospel. For example, heresies like Jehovah's Witness and Mormon, false gospel like prosperity gospel, which preach that if you believe in the gospel, Jesus will bless you with good health, wealth, and success. The more you serve God, the more material blessing you will be having. This is false gospel. The shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace might have another understanding, interpretation. That is the peace. The readiness to keep peace between man and man. Satan wants to cause division. He likes to use division to attack Christians. Because of the gospel of peace, we can have peace with God. Since we have peace with God, we can have peace with one another. That's why we need the gospel of peace to stand against Satan's schemes of division. Previously, we read chapter 2 of Ephesians. It told us that Christ himself is our peace. When we put on peace, we put on Christ. Verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The fourth one is the shield of faith. The shield here is not the small circular shield, but large rectangular shield. It allows the soldier to hide behind it to be protected. It is made of wood covered with leather, with metal surrounded the four sides. Before the battle, the soldiers soaked the leather covering with water. When the flaming arrows come, the shield stops the arrows and extinguishes the fire. Faith here is the faith in God and His Word. Our trust in God can protect us from all flaming arrows of the evil one. The flaming arrows also can be in the form of our thoughts, our feeling, our imagination, affected by Satan's lies. Because Satan is the father of lies. Sometimes the flaming arrows can be real difficult life situations. Like fear, facing trials, like persecution, or anxiety after being told of a health problem, or a discouragement in the midst of a tragedy or failure. But faith means that we believe God is in the midst of our difficult situations. Although the incidents can be unexpected or sudden, but it is not accidental. There is no accident in God's sovereign hand. Not to say big life challenges. We have various difficulties in our daily life which can discourage us and take away the peace in our heart. But God said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 to 16, God said to his people, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. We can trust our God, even in difficult situations. How can a woman forget her nursing child? Even some may forget. Like a mom left her 14-month baby in a car for hours going for gambling at a pub a year or two ago. God will not forget us who belong to Him. In the midst of our difficult situation, we can take up the shield of faith. We trust God is with us, and we can rest our whole weight on Him. When the 19th century Scottish missionary John Payton was translating the Bible for the Southeast Island in Southeast tribe in Fiji, he discovered that they had no word for trust or faith for him to translate. One day, a native who had been running hard came into his house, flopped himself in a large chair and said, it's good to rest my whole weight on this chair. That's it, said Payton. I'll translate faith as resting the whole weight on God. We can entrust our whole self, whole being, our whole weight on God. In the midst of difficult situation. When we trust God in our difficult situation, we also obey God in the situation. Because trust and obey came together in real faith. This faith can extinguish all flaming arrows. Jesus is the author of our faith. When we put on the shield of faith, we put on Christ. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The first one is the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation is to protect the head from Satan's attack. Head can refer to our mind, our value, our thoughts, our worldview. Our mind is important to us as the head is important to the body. As someone said that, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. So thoughts are the very beginning thing to affect us. The salvation of God is a complete salvation, which at least includes three aspects. Firstly, God saved us from the punishment of sins that through the death of Christ on the cross. This gives us the sense of security in our mind without fear of death and hell. Secondly, in the salvation, God saved us from the power of sin by the death of Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Christ from the dead. This gives our mind the desire and motivation of pursuing the the holiness of God, dealing with sin and overcoming sin. Third aspect, God saves us from the corruption of our bodies through the redemption of our bodies when Jesus returns. At that time, each of us will receive a new resurrected, incorruptible body, living forever in God's presence. This glorious hope shapes our mind and attitude towards life on earth, including the courage in suffering. So Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, "So we do not lose heart. Through our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are transient, but the things that are seen, that are unseen, are eternal." With the complete salvation of God, our mind and thought are shaped and protected by the helmet of salvation. Christ is our salvation. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we put on Christ. We have looked at five parts of the whole armor of God: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. As mentioned above, Jesus Christ is the truth, is our righteousness, our peace, the order of our faith, our salvation. As we put on the armor of God, we effectively, actually, put on Christ himself. How do we stand against Satan? Be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God. This is to put on Christ. The way is abiding in Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, as the Son of God and Son of Man, he is victorious over Satan and defeated Satan through his crucifixion and resurrection. Today, he wants to lead us, his children and his church, to continue to hold on to Jesus' victory and to stand against Satan to destroy his works. As 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 is said, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." So let us live our daily life abiding in him, be strong in the Lord, and stand for our Lord. Next time, God willing, we'll be looking at the remaining part of the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much that you're willing to suffer and being crucified on the cross to die for us, and also resurrected for us. And we praise you that you have already defeated Satan, and you give us such a complete salvation. And you are our all-sufficiency. So Lord, this morning as we read through your scriptures, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit use your own scriptures to speak to our hearts, so that whatever you want us to hear, you cause us to hear, so that we can receive your words and we can know better how to put on the armor of God to live our daily life.
for your will and for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.